Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been considering the ministries of the Holy Spirit, both in our individual lives and the way He also works in the assembly of believers. As we have considered these messages concerning the Holy Spirit, we have covered a number of different subjects. In the first half of this long series of messages, we considered a number of the passages that deal with the subject of the Holy Spirit. There are many of these passages going back into the Gospels, going through the epistles, and even into the book of Revelation itself. There are a number of these different passages dealing with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how important His work is as the third person of the Trinity, how important His work is in our lives and in the work of the gospel in the world today. And we Christians are wise when we study this, and then when we depend upon God for God to work in our lives by His Holy Spirit. It's not just a matter of having knowledge concerning the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that we are to be filled with the Spirit, and we're to walk in the Spirit. And so we also appropriate what God wants to do in our lives by His Holy Spirit. And we live by the Spirit, and we honor God by the Spirit. Now, as we have studied this, we first of all, as I mentioned, studied a number of different passages dealing with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm trying to concentrate upon some of the topical studies concerning the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. In other words, we're trying to examine some of these subjects more deeply. And I have about 5 or 6 of these subjects, and I hope that we can complete them by the end of this series of messages. Now we're considering the ministry of the Holy Spirit and in giving and using spiritual gifts in our individual walk in the world and in church life, the subject of the gifts of the Spirit. We started out by giving a few warnings concerning the study of the gifts, the fact that there has been, in fact, much false teaching. And this false teaching has led some people astray. We don't need to get off into false teaching. The Holy Spirit is still giving gifts of the Spirit, even though some of the original gifts may not be present in the world anymore. We'll be discussing this a little bit later. But He is still giving gifts to God's people, and we still need these gifts in our individual walk before the world and in our fellowships of believers. Now, we've considered several of these gifts, and I want to continue the subject of considering the gifts of the Spirit and the list of the gifts today, taken from the 4 different passages that we considered. Today, I want to begin with the subject of faith. Now, it seems like we clearly understand this gift. We understand everything about faith. We have faith in Christ as our Savior from sin. We stand in the faith once for all given to the saints. But it's very important that we understand that this subject of faith is also a gift of the Holy Spirit. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. Now, we first of all note that when He's speaking of faith here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, He is not speaking of saving faith, which all of them presumably already had. Nor is He speaking of the miracle-working faith of Matthew 17, verses 19 to 21. We're going to talk about miracles in a little while. But He's not speaking of these. He rather is speaking of faith, which has to do with the need of the believers for a high degree of trust in God. Now, we notice that miracle-working faith was limited to the apostles themselves and to a few others in that day. It was not given to everyone. But this kind of faith that the Holy Spirit gives as a gift is something that we believers need. We need the gift of faith. And it's very possible, in fact, that almost every believer would have this gift. In other words, it's a gift that all of us need. We all need to have strong faith to encourage us and to help us to go on. Now again, this has to do with a high degree of trust in God that they would need to go through the most difficult and perilous situations they were facing in that day at the hands of the Romans and other enemies of the Lord and His gospel. Now those were difficult days. I would guess that most of us are not facing and will not face in our entire lifetimes this kind of problem. But in that day, persecution was very, very strong. I do want to note that in various countries of the world today, Christians are cruelly persecuted. I am thankful that probably it has not come to us in that way, and may never come to us in that way. But we still need, like they did, we still need the encouragement that God would give us, and this high degree of trust to go through difficult times, whatever those times might involve, whether it's persecution or whatever the difficulties might be. We need this high degree of trust in God to go through difficult situations. And so, the gift of faith was one of the gifts given to the Christians in that day, and I believe also in this day. We also have this gift of faith. And so, you need to claim this from God. If you're going through difficult times, you need to ask God, God, in my life, give me the faith that I need to stand. The faith not to give up, the faith not to be discouraged, the faith not to quit when times get difficult, whatever those difficult times might be. Now, the next gift on this list is a gift of healing. This is also found in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9. Now, while the gift of miracles would include the raising of the dead and other miracles that were done in that day, this gift mainly has to do with the healing of physical diseases. Now, this was a gift where Peter or Paul or some other Christian could touch or could lay hands on a certain person, and they were given the power to heal that person from their diseases. You'll notice when the Lord Jesus sent out his disciples, this would be in Luke chapter 10, and I think also in Matthew chapter 10, when Jesus sent out his disciples and they were to go into every town, he gave them power to do healing. They could cast out demons, for instance, and so forth. And this was a very wonderful gift that the apostles had even after Pentecost. They had it in the book of Acts, and you find it mentioned in the epistles in one way or another, this gift of healing, this ability to lay hands on people. Now, this gift would prove that the apostles and the few other leaders truly had been sent by God. Not everybody had this gift. Usually it was limited to the apostles and a few others. There were some others who also apparently had this gift. But this gift was limited, but it would prove that these people truly had been sent by God, and that the message they preached was both true and was to be believed and followed. Now keep in mind again, that the New Testament had not yet been written. Also, the Christian faith was new to the people who were hearing it. It was a new thing. It had just come to reality with the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord, the sending of the Holy Spirit, and finally the public proclamation of the gospel in the book of Acts. It was a new thing to the Jews and to others who were hearing the gospel for the first time. And therefore, it needed to be validated. And it was validated as these people had this gift of being able to heal. They can actually heal people from their diseases. And again, I want to emphasize that this gift, we believe, ceased when the apostles died at the end of the first century. John died in 95 AD, as far as we know. And as far as we can see, this gift does not exist today at all. The gift of healing is gone. It was a gift that was given in that century, and it had a purpose, and its purpose was fulfilled. Now, I want to emphasize that people can still be healed today. For instance, we pray for people. I go to the hospital, I pray for people to be healed from their diseases, and people can still be healed today. So the gift is the gift of healing is gone, but healing is still here. God from heaven heals. But it simply means that men today do not have this ability themselves to lay hands on people and to heal them. That was given only in that day. And this seems to be very clear. Now, one other thing I want to mention before we stop in this message, That is the gift of miracles, the effecting of miracles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. Now this miracle giving gift, or this gift of miracles, seems to go beyond simply the gift of healing. It includes the gift of healing. And the gift of healing, of course, would be part of this gift of miracles, but it goes beyond that. For instance, we see that it included raising people from the dead. The gift of healing did not include this. We see this, for instance, in Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 43, where Peter went out and raised somebody from the dead. It also involved the saving of an entire ship's crew under impossible and difficult circumstances. In other words, humanly speaking, it was impossible that the ship's crew, the ship upon which Paul was traveling to Rome, that the ship's crew would be saved from the disaster that was befalling them. But through a miracle, in Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 34, and then to verse 44, through a miracle, God saved an entire ship's crew. Now, the use of miracles had an even greater effect than healing, for its spectacular nature would impress upon skeptical and often antagonistic listeners that the one doing the miracle was truly sent by God, and that God wanted the spiritual needs of the listeners to be fully met through the message the miracle worker was bringing. In other words, this would be even more spectacular than simply healing. They would watch a man being healed, but when a person was raised from the dead, or when a ship's crew was saved, they would see truly that God was present. It could not be mistaken for any other thing. It could not be explained in any other way. Now, like other gifts, this gift was never to be used for personal gain or for personal glory, nor was it to take away in any way from attention to God Himself by those who witnessed it and heard the message that accompanied it. You'll notice in Acts chapter 14, verses 8 to 18, when a miracle was performed and the healing was performed, that the people wanted to bow down and worship the ones who had done the miracle. And this, of course, was never God's intention. The glory was to go back to God. It was never to be used for personal glory. And so the ones who had used this miracle, Paul and his companions, the ones who had used this miracle, very clearly stopped the people from bowing down before them and even offering sacrifices before them in Acts chapter 14. The danger was that the thing would be misdirected and the glory would be taken away from God. And so even in that day, even though these people had the power to do healing and miracles, and which is the one we're now discussing, they used it only for the glory of God. They never took the credit in themselves in any way or permitted people to honor or glorify them. And I think, to be fair, that this is in contrast to the way many people are claiming to do these miracles today, claiming to do healings today, where the glory belongs to them. And it's wrong. And so we note this as we come through these various gifts. Now I want to stop here for today, but I want to leave these several gifts with you as examples of the way the Holy Spirit worked in that day, and also as examples of the way we ourselves should expect the gifts of God, not this gift, not even the gift of healing and miracles, because that has passed away, but the way we can expect the gifts of God to be present in our midst today, and the way these gifts can be used for the furthering of the work of God, and for proving that we Christians are really who and what we claim we are. In other words, it's not enough to claim that we're Christians. We also can prove by the way we live, by the way the Spirit works in us, that we are true Christians and true followers of the Lord Jesus. And may this be true in your lives. May the Lord bless and help you, each one.